You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
It's in Matthew chapter 25. And it, verse 5 says this, when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. I guess if there's anything I could say to finish off that first point, I would simply say this. Make sure that you do not sleep through the opportunities God is going to bring to us. Remember we started? Great opposition. Great opposition. The bully is bullying. There's pressures pushing. There's agendas that are out there. All kinds of stuff that is trying to grab your mind and grab your spirit and get you caught up in it. But in the midst of all of that, there will be open doors. Open doors of great opportunities. And so in the midst of that, if you're going to see the open door, you're going to need to be able to have the peace of God operative in your life. I believe physical fatigue is going to be one of the major tools of the demonic spirits against the church right now to hinder us from seeing clearly what God is saying. I do believe that some who do not hear the Spirit speak clearly often may need to check and see if physical fatigue is affecting your spiritual receptors. Let me move to point two. Kind of touched on it just a little bit. This is mental fatigue. Your mind. As a man thinketh. Some people have insomnia. They can't sleep at night. The mind won't shut off. It keeps running. We're not ignorant of this plan of the enemy. The military's used it for years. Brainwashing. Backmasking. You can be watching something in subliminal messages being thrown out there. You may not even read it. You may not even see it. But subliminally, I mean just with the mind. We are made up body, soul, spirit. We have a spiritual dimension. We live in a physical house. And the enemy knows that. And our mind and our thoughts, the world knows this. And there are so many targeted messages that are blasting at us nonstop. And because you are a spiritual being, you receive spiritual messages. That means you can receive from God, and at the same time, the enemy can be broadcasting spam at you. Just loading you down with spam, loading you down with crazy thoughts, loading you down with all kinds of confusion, loading you down with upsetness, anger, frustration. It's in your mind. You can't figure it out. You can't work it out. And your mind is overloaded. This is a strategy because we tend in our physical bodies to to operate from our minds, which thank God we have minds. I pray you have a brain that works, that's helpful. But when I was thinking of this and looking in the Word of God, I was looking in Nehemiah. You remember Nehemiah? He was the wall builder, right? Do you remember that one of the major strategies was to verbally attack them and to mock them and to seek to discourage them to the point of surrender? Mentally, it's spiritual too. But mentally, in fact, in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 17, there's so many different places we could look at, but this guy Sandbags, actually his name's Sanballat, but I think of Sandbags, you know. He was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. If you do anything for God, the enemy's going to be ticked off. Don't be shocked by it. Sanballat was very angry. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Now let me tell you, the enemy inspires those kinds of words against us. Poor, feeble. Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Look at what he's saying. Do those Jews think that just because they are honoring their God, that they can actually accomplish something? You got to think about the strategy. Endeavoring to minimize and destroy faith through fear. Let me move to the last point. We took note of physical fatigue, strategy, demonic strategy, operative against the church. Mental fatigue, overloading with just too much data. But the third area of fatigue, and this one I'm very concerned about the enemy's attack, it's faith fatigue. Faith fatigue. In Mark's Gospel chapter 9, there's a story of a father whose son was very ill with a demonic spirit. He went to the disciples. The disciples were not able to cast that spirit out. When Jesus came, he had been up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, Transfiguration. When Jesus came, he said, what's going on? You remember the story. And he finds out this father said, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. If you can do something, and then Jesus responded in that passage, it's powerful, and says, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. Do you remember what that father said? He said, I believe. And then immediately he said something else. He said, help thou my unbelief. What was he saying? He was saying, my faith has been under attack. I came here believing. I brought my son believing. I made plans for this trip believing that my son was going to get healed, but your disciples, they couldn't do anything. And if you can do anything, what he is saying is, I believe, and at the same time, my faith has been under attack, and there are a lot of questions that I have. I believe the enemy would love for the church to have an overdose of faith fatigue, where the enemy will say, why are you believing for that after all this time? How long have you prayed for that child? How long have you prayed over that situation? Didn't the whole church pray about this presidency thing? What happened? Where was God? I believe the enemy is desiring to seduce us by faith fatigue, wearing us down to where we drop our guard just a little bit. What is the solution? To recognize this is part of the strategy of the enemy. And we talked about this several weeks ago from Acts chapter 12, so we won't have to go into all the details, but it's verses 5 through 15. Peter's in prison. Remember that? He's in prison. They're planning to kill him. And the church is praying. And I love this. It says the church prayed earnestly for him. And we know that James says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we know that as they are earnestly, fervently praying, that there is much being done, but they haven't seen anything yet. They haven't received it yet. It's faith. Years ago, sitting with a family, we love this family, still close friends. They'd raised their children with the Word of God. They had family times of prayer and devotion, and they had taught them the Word, and they'd endeavored to follow the Lord themselves. And then one day came when one of their children sort of went, "Psh, I want to have nothing to do with this. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with your faith. I don't want anything to do with any of it." And one child disappeared, and that shook them. Then a short time later, the second child, just had the two, disappeared. Not only just rejecting the faith of their father, the faith of their mother, not just rejecting, but defiantly opposing. It broke their hearts. Some of you have had broken hearts, and you've experienced some of this. And I remember them sharing with me one evening in their home, they said, we just can't figure this out. We have prayed. We have spoken the Word of God. We have believed the Word of God. We have stood in faith for our families. What is going on in my family? What is going on with my kids? What is happening? They were under attack. It was an attack to diminish their faith, to neutralize their faith, to cause them to be, yes, immobilized to where they still believe mentally, but they did not practically apply their faith into their situation. And so, as we sat there and prayed that night, it's a difficult message. But I shared with them, I said, all this time, you have been walking in faith. You have been ministering in faith. You've been praying in faith. But now is the time for you to stand in faith. It's not time to question God. It's not time to question His Word. It's not time to question whether or not God is at work in your family. It's time for you to stand, having done everything to stand in faith. What the enemy would love to have been the end of the story with that Mark 9 father, the enemy would have loved for that father to have simply turned away and went back home before Jesus showed up. Or he would have loved for him to have not had an operative faith to believe until he received. But he needed that word. And that word was, all things are, say all things. All things are possible. Now that's not all things I want. That's all things God wills. That's all things in God's Word. That's not all things I'm going to give birth to. It's not my opinions. It's not your opinions. It's everything in the book that God has promised. All of those things are possible to each one of us in this room. who believe. And I remember, you've heard me talk about going to this Benny Hinn event that was in Orlando. And Sadie, bless her heart, Sadie, she called and called, "Pastor, will you drive the bus up to Orlando for this Benny Hinn event? You know it's going to be on Sunday," and gave me the date. She started calling early. I remember saying, "Well, Sadie, you know, we'll see, we'll see." She called back, "Pastor, are you going to drive the bus so we can get a load of people to go to Orlando to this event?" And I'm talking to her, and I'm thinking this way. There's not one thing in Orlando that God can do that God can't do right here in Stuart, Florida. I mean, that's the way, honestly, Ruddy, that's the way I was thinking. And I was just kind of questioning God, why is it people will desire to go somewhere else and they'll have great faith to go there, but we don't have faith to live here? Are you guys still with me? I mean, it's a great thing to have great faith to go a great distance, but I need faith here, where I live, operative. You see, I understand. I do understand. When you're sitting and you're watching television and you see some blind eyes open, or as a cameraman told me, he said, I'm filming, I'm watching, I'm seeing arms and legs that were twisted, straightened out. I'm seeing people's eyes open. He said, I'm filming this. He said, I'm filming this and I can hardly keep my hands on the camera because I know this is the miraculous power of God in my generation. And I'm filming it. I'm documenting it. And I know when you're sitting there and you're watching this and you're like, wow, that's awesome that God is able to do those things. But what Jesus was saying was, all things are possible to him who believes. It's not just, praise God for those events. We went to that event. John Rummel. John, he's in his 90s, 92 years old. Surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and was born again that night in Orlando, Florida. Sadie wanted to go. She had a burden. She had vision. She had faith. I don't know that she knew what was going to happen, but John went. And John is there. I thought John was born again. He was in church every week. I thought John was born again. He's sitting right next to his wife. He would stand up, raise his hands a little bit when we're singing. I thought John was born again. John said, no, it was up here, but it was never down here. But he said, tonight, I believe with everything inside of me, and I receive God into my life. And then John received the baptism of the Spirit. And that Sunday morning, some of you may have been there. John, in his 90s, came down front, and he was so on fire, it was like a lightning bolt that was dancing in the front. He's 90-some years old, this feeble guy. He is like on fire, and he's like, I've never felt this good in my whole life. Can you imagine being 92? No, I can't imagine being 92. He's 92, and he said, I've never felt this good in my whole life. And you know what? John lived maybe be 94 or something. John had that excitement and enthusiasm right up till the end of his life. He never lost it. It increased inside of him. So praise God. Don't try to get me to pick on Benny Hinn or anybody else or Franklin Graham or somebody else. If you don't understand them, you don't relate to them, say, thank you, Jesus, I'll pray for them. But I know what happened to John. That doesn't change the fact that we can't live in those places a long ways away. So how do you think perhaps God wants to do something special in steward. What if we don't have to bring somebody? What if we don't have to have somebody from the outside? What if God has already willed to do what He wants to do, and He may choose to use you and me? He may bring some in, but we live here. This has been my prayer. My prayer has been, Father, I've read of the wonderful accounts. I've read of the Hebrides. I've traveled through Wales. I've talked to relatives that were, their parents, grandparents were involved in these revivals. Wonderful, wonderful things. But my prayer is, God, I want to live to see it in my day, in my neighborhood, in my family, in the churches, in my region, in this generation, in this world that I live in now. The enemy is going to endeavor to slow us down by this physical house. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. In Him I live, I move, I have my being in Jesus' name. The enemy is going to attempt to mentally overload us and wear us down. And the enemy is going to attempt to attack our faith until our faith is weakened. Well, that passage in Acts, Peter's at the gate knocking. You remember the story, right? Many people are gathered. There's a big prayer meeting. This is what the Father was saying to me as I was preparing for this morning, that there's a danger of praying without expecting. We can pray without expecting. We can even pray with a sense of power and enthusiasm, because they did, and success. But what the Father said to me was, we're living in a season where we know we need to pray, but do not quit expecting and inspecting the moving of God to be manifest in our situation. We're going to lift it up. Let's expect God to hear us. Let's expect God to change some things. Expect a miracle, because that's what God does. Rhoda was so overjoyed that she didn't open the door. Now that's not a bad problem to have, to be so overjoyed you miss something like opening the door, right? But the people who are praying, when Rhoda tells this large prayer group that Peter's at the door, and this is the New Living Translation, it gives kind of modern vernacular, but simply says in verse 15, you're out of your mind. And I believe there's a danger of us not really expecting God to fulfill His word fully as promised to us, listen, to us and through us right now. But this is our God. Does anyone remember the scripture we went to when we were going to start the year? I told you this is scripture God put on my heart. I believe it's a scripture for the year. It was Hebrews chapter 10. It was an admonition from verse 32. Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Christ. That's sort of like a reminder. Don't lose your first love. Don't let anything steal it away. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. This is not being fatigued. This is standing faith. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule. We read about that with Nehemiah. And not only public ridicule, but sometimes you were beat. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same thing. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. When all you owned was taken from you, You accepted it with joy? Let me tell you who the devil can't mess with, somebody like this. That's just so confident, God's got me. God's got everything under control. You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Then verse 35, this is the verse. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. No matter, say no matter. What happens? No matter what happens. Now I know if you listen to some of the reports, some of the prophets, you listen to some of the things that are out there, some will say this is going to happen, some will say that's going to happen. Could I tell you what God says? God says, regardless of what happens, no matter what happens, do not throw away your faith. Doesn't matter. Remember the great reward it brings you. And then verse 36 calls us back to this place of standing. Patient endurance is what you need right now. I believe we're going to need it all through this year. Patient endurance. Trust God. Patient endurance is needed. It's what you need right now. So you will continue. Say continue. You know, you're doing the will of God, but so you will continue to do God's will. Patient endurance. Then you will receive all that has been promised. And then verse 37 is what the Father really brought an emphasis to me over in this passage for today. For in just a little while, the one who is coming will come and not delay. The coming one is coming. Turn to someone and say that. For the coming one is coming. Whatever's going on, the coming one is coming. And not delay. And verse 38 tells us how a righteous person lives. Not by the strength of your flesh, not by the wisdom of your mind, not by all of your faith awards and ribbons you have, but a righteous person will live by faith. Live in the now by faith. In this moment, the righteous will live by faith.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
God gives.